6 o'clock. Time for the Thursday, March 6, 2025 Public Safety Committee meeting. I am here with Alderman Tabrus.
Recording in progress.
Alderman Solon, Chief Jensen, and Marla Sarmentz-Taker. Are there any citizen comments? There is no one in the conference room. No one on Zoom. So, unless Mr. Weslow has comments, and we will move on to...
I do not.
Okay. Move on to minutes for correction approval. You guys have anything to add, delete, modify, change, alter, amend?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. We'll take them. New business, PS 2025-5, monthly report review for January 2025.
All right. So I'm going to go over the January 2025 monthly report, just page by page, like we usually do. So employees, we're at 44 as compared to 43. We are fully staffed. We actually had a pretty good year with our overall staffing. We were fully staffed for about 8-9 months of the year, which is good. We do have two potential people leaving, for one for Illinois State Police and one potentially for Sycamore. He takes care of his mom, only child. He lives in Sycamore. It's like a 55-minute ride for him every day. It's going to be hard to lose them because they're two really good people. So, but we're working on that. Don't know for sure just yet, but we'll keep you guys informed. As far as overtime hours, of the 37.5 we had in January, 17.5 was reimbursed. Our community policing initiatives, you're seeing a lot, hopefully, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but hopefully you're seeing a lot of vehicles downtown Yorkville, a lot of squad cars, a lot of stops. I've gotten numerous emails, text messages, comments from different people saying, you guys are all over down there, thank you, they appreciate that. You know, we kind of play the game with them, we will post our location, or we were down there one day running radar, and somebody on the Waze app takes a photo of the app or whatever the picture was, and then they send it to us, so we actually post it on our website saying, yep, we're downtown. So just kind of a nice way to interact with the public and let them know we're down there, making sure people slow down. Sergeant Strop was brought into the, or installed into the Kennel Chiefs Association as a Sergeant at Arms. Ray was the president. He is now the past president this year. So we always try to have agency involvement. All the police agencies try to get on the Kennel Chiefs Association and, you know, at any certain time. A couple other items of note. Al Spira passed away, retired Yorkville police officer. Al was, I believe, 92 when he passed away, worked here for several years when Dick Randall was the chief here. Al was a really good guy and a real good supporter of our PD. As far as training hours go, we had 313.5. Crashes, it was kind of, we had 54 during the month of January. We did have a couple days where we had some, you know, slippery weather. But 54, I thought it would be higher with the days of slippery weather. That, you know, we averaged between 42 to 53. So it wasn't super high, wasn't super low, but with the weather, you would say pretty average. Tuesdays had the number of crashes. That and Fridays were the top 2 days of the week, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, Tuesday. I don't know why. And it was 12, both Tuesday and Friday had 12 of the each of the 54 crashes, which I thought was weird. And the other unusual part was 6 to 10.
So it's a mystery to you as well as the rest.
I would love to be able to say, I mean, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to about 6 p.m. is where every month we've seen the majority, not the majority, but a higher number of crashes. But 6 in the morning to 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was just odd, but that's also when we had some early snowstorms. So it could be that. Of note with the traffic complaints and our enforcement efforts, we've been working pretty hard downtown, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I know part of this committee, one of the things that Sam had brought forward is we had our speed signs down there, and when cars were speeding, we flashed. And then, so we did 2 weeks of studying when the lights were flashing, and then we did 2 weeks of studying when we turned it off, and it was just a blank screen, but we were still collecting data. What we found that the average speed for both directions, north and south on 47, through the downtown area was below the posted speed limit.
Wow.
the 85th percentile was just above its 30 mile per hour at 36, just under 37 miles per hour when the speed sign was displayed. And when the speed sign was not displayed, it was just under 37 miles an hour. So there was really no difference between the two. And then in the 35 mile per hour direction, which is the southbound direction, speed limit is 35, 85th percentile was 36. And then hydraulics, 47 hydraulic southbound, speed limit 35. When it wasn't displayed, it was 35.7, so 36 miles an hour. So kind of interesting. As far as any other areas, you'll see that our monitor, our directed patrol areas downtown, we had 83 overall stops, 42 for speeding. Traffic control devices were 10. Non-moving violations, 31 violations. And then you go into our other high performers or high areas of violations, which would be 34, 47, and 71. So we had several stops each of those months. We had a total of the month of January of 410 hours of detail time spent and 583 total traffic stops for the areas that we have highlighted for our directed patrels. The top areas are 34 is number one, 47 is two, 71 is three, and then downtown Yorkville, we created a separate area. So we consider our downtown from 47 north and south, from east and west Main to Fox. That's what we're considering the downtown in that stretch. So as far as traffic enforcement numbers, you're going to see our citations are up 15. Our written warnings are down 67. We're going to talk a lot about goals later, so I'll explain a little bit more of the overall numbers. As far as our non-criminal for our detective squad, criminal cases assigned, we're just getting killed with backgrounds, you know, between coaching backgrounds, business backgrounds, law enforcement backgrounds. We are going to be testing again in April. You know, we had 42 people sign up for our test. 8 made the list. They just were failing people for interviews. They can't interview. And then school resource officer activity. Remember, we added that starting in August of 2024. So in January of 25, we had 61 total activities. Majority of those were student counseling and outreaches and then parent engagement. So we try to track everything. We know that coming soon, when the school district, when they decide what they're going to do, they're going to be asking for another SRO. We are trying to track the data to determine whether or not it is, in fact, needed based on the numbers that we have. So depending, no matter what they do, we'll be able to at least come up with a plan of, you know, obviously we have a full-time one at the high school, but he travels all around to all the schools in Yorkville when they have a problem. As far as our crime data really goes for the NIBRS reporting and our overall reports, we were 87 total reports down from the same time last year, which I think is kind of cool. The major differences are we had 14 less criminal reports, which I always love that. We had probably 56 less motorist assists and about 18 less lockouts, which still they're minor things, non-criminal, but it's still stuff we have to spend time on. As far as our NIBRS reporting, crimes against person, property, and society, we're pretty much even. As compared to, we're down one, down, you know, for crimes against person, down two in crimes against property and crimes against society, we're down one. So it's pretty even through.
I may have asked you this before. When you guys do a lockout, do they sign a liability waiver?
Yep. Okay. They do. Yep. Get a lot of them. There's a lot of agencies that just aren't doing them anymore. You know, they're, for whatever reason, they're saying they're too busy, they can't do it. To me, it's a public service that we need to offer. We're not the size of Aurora, we're not the size of Naperville. Somebody locks their keys in the car, send our officers over, sign a waiver. It's not costing them anything. And otherwise, they're spending $100 to get a locksmith out to unlock their car.
That's the future.
Correct. Yeah, it's correct. Kind of crazy. So that's the month of January.
Any questions?
Nope.
Yeah. We'll move on to New business 2025-06, adjudication reports for January and February.
Awesome. So I've marked a couple of them on here, and I'm looking at a couple of them, and I got to get some questions answered. The CSO that wrote some of these tickets that I'm going to bring up today, I'm not sure what and why they did it had to do with registration, but I'll talk more about that in a minute. So the docket of January 6th, we did have a couple solicitors. You had businesses out there that did not have permits, people call and complain. We typically warn them, but when they do it a second time or third time or fourth time, we're starting to write them tickets. You know, everybody knows the process. They know what they're supposed to do, and there's a really good reason why we have it set the way we have. And so when they don't follow it, it's kind of upsetting to us. You're starting to see, or you will see this month, for January, February, and March, we're starting to get tobacco, vape pens, and dab pens with cannabis in the high school. So you're going to start seeing probably a little increase in those. The one, we had additional parking regulations within 12 inches of the right-hand curb. Not something we typically write. It's an odd one. That's the reason I'm bringing it up. It was a complaint we received, and the car was parked way off the curb. So as far as the docket goes on January 22nd, you're going to see an individual that had received multiple tickets for expired registration on Bissell Drive. Those are the ones I need to look into and see. We typically do write a lot of parking tickets for vehicles that are parked on the road that are not registered and they haven't moved. So we will get calls for abandoned vehicles or saying, hey, that car's been on the road, it never moves. And so we will always respond to that. We always try to put a note on the car saying, hey, you need to move the car. If they're not registered, there's not air in the tire, we put a toe tag on the car to let people know it cannot be on the street. It needs to be moved. So let's see. On docket February 19th, again, we had another possession of cannabis by a person under 21. And other than that, it's your typical citations we get every month. So
there's a couple on here. The Jose Martinez.
Yes.
That's the one that's in Bristol Bay, right? That's the same one?
It's on Bissell. Not sure where Bissell is at. It could be.
I think that's, I see him on Bissell. I think that's Bristol Bay. And then last month, the same person, the same name, kept showing up. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was for construction vehicles and trailers.
Okay.
Parking on there. Is this a continuing?
I got to ask the CSO that wrote the tickets to kind of determine, hey, why are we right? I mean, the guy's got, he has some on, let's see.
It's in Grand Reserve.
It's in Grand Reserve.
Okay. Now that you say that, it's off of Mill Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's got some on January 6th, and then again on the docket January 22nd, there's five more that are written. So I need to figure out what exactly it is. And unfortunately, she hasn't been in the last couple days. So
I was curious if it's the same vehicle or if there's multiple vehicles.
It's a great question.
Multiple.
I don't know.
Okay.
It could be every day, you know?
Yes.
Every day is a new offense.
Yeah, because it shows up on multiple days, multiple times.
Yep. So, and he has not paid any of them.
So he's just not moving his car.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the car is there and no one, like, he doesn't live there.
Yeah.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Move on to new business PS 2025-07. The 2024 annual report review.
There, all right. So the annual report, I've just marked several pages. If you guys have had things you've already went through and you have questions on, obviously just let me know. We try to put this report together and kind of encompasses our entire year. There's a lot of good work and one of the things I really want to highlight with this, well, there's several things I want to highlight. But one in particular is our goal, our 2024 department goal, which is really pages 5 and 6. This last year, as a command staff, we sat down and we challenged our staff. And when we look at the overall numbers of what our personnel are doing, it is our opinion that we want. They get paid very, very well. And the amount of work that they do, which is what we track, needs to show that. And so we challenge them with a certain number of stops that they are required to do on a daily basis. And so we are pushing them. It's not something we've ever done. I cannot force people to write tickets, but I can say we have to do stops.
Sure.
And so our goal this year broke down into a total of 9 different goals under one common organizational goal, which is more about expectations and standards that we've established as a department. So you're going to see we've highlighted 8 separate categories that we've seen increases in. So we completed a total of 385 school patrols. And that's when school's in session or out of session. You know, we're sitting in the schools, making sure the parents see us, the kids see us, the community sees us. We had 85 vacation homes checked. When people go on vacation, they notify us, and then we actually walk around their houses, check their house to make sure things are good. We had individual business checks completed, over 1,200, where they get out of the car. It's not just I'm driving through the parking lot. You'd have thousands if that was the case. This is where they actually get out, walk into business, and check. Specifically, I will tell you kind of a great story is Home Depot. We went into our major retailers before Christmas and talked to them about retail theft, knowing that Christmas time was coming. Home Depot, they asked if we could assist them by putting a squad car in their parking lot for like the 4 weeks beforehand, and we did. We rotated it around. We moved it around. Their retail thefts way down during that period of time. Where other businesses like Target, they basically they tell their employees, unless it's an issue where somebody's going to get hurt, we are not calling the police. That's what they've gone to. Kohl's, same thing. So they're not calling us for some of the retail thefts. We had a 59% increase in our total officer-initiated enforcement contacts from the previous year, 60% increase in traffic stops for stop sign and stop light violations, 97% increase in traffic stops for speeding violations through the city from previous years. Obviously, when you look at the numbers and you had that much of an increase, you look at it and say, well, man, that tells me some people aren't doing what they should be doing. And that's exactly correct. When we went through some of the work performance, when we do our annual evaluations for employees and we see that there's a 50% reduction in their efforts, that's a problem. And that's when we have to start establishing guidelines and expectations, which is exactly what we did. We had a 155% increase in traffic stops for distracted driving and cell phone violators. I can tell you we could have 600% increase, and you're still going to see people on their phone all the time, every day, wherever they go. It's that prevalent. And we had 3,500-plus hours of directed patrols in traffic-concerned areas, which really go along to our goal for 2025, which we've already discussed here at our last meeting. It's about identifying a problem and solving that problem. We know there is a problem with speeders downtown Yorkville. Our focus is on the downtown area. So that's our department goals. Our calls for service, which is on page number 9, you see that we jump from 12,901 to 16,853. A lot of that is traffic numbers. You know, you're seeing an overall increase in the total number of traffic stops, total incidents. So it's the numbers have jumped. Jumping over, and if you guys have questions, just let me know. Jumping over to page 13 and 14, these are our new employees. Thank you very much for allowing us to jump up from 33 to 34 authorized staffing. Two things I want to really note on here. Andrew Camus, he's the middle one on page number 13. He was one of our previous CSOs. Our goal is to hire our CSOs as police officers because their job as a CSO is a job interview for them for being a police officer. So that's really cool getting Andrew in here. Sam Tickle at the top of page 14, he's a Yorkville kid, born and raised. It's really good to bring him in. He was hired, I want to say, the very last day of the year. And then went into the academy and is currently in the academy with Officer Jack Wade. And then our 3 CSOs, Naley, Tyler, and Natalia, they're all fantastic kids. They're all young. But Naylee is the oldest right now. We will probably be looking to bring her on as a police officer here in the next year. She's awesome. She is just knows how to talk to people. She's aggressive on the street, very appropriate, and so it's just kind of cool to see that. Jumping over to our hours worked, you'll see our population with our sworn officers, one officer per 738 residents. Page number 19, this is one of the areas that we are extremely proud of, although it's not much we can, I mean, we can control it to a point, but it's our professional standards report. We had two complaints come in. We investigate all complaints that come in, even anonymous complaints. The reason we do anonymous complaints is it protects us. So when somebody comes in and says, Dan Transier stopped me and he was a complete jerk on the traffic stop and I want to make a complaint, we're like, absolutely. Come on in. We've got body camera footage because the officers wear body cameras. We have squad car video. Oh, I didn't know you had that. And then pretty soon, well, I'm fine. You just need to check and make sure he's not rude to other people. Well, you go back, look at the video, and you find out they're not rude. The person just got a ticket or they were upset. So we had two complaints this past year, and they were both found unfounded. So two complaints in a year, we're extremely happy with that. Jumping over to page 28, talking a little bit about records. FOIAs, Dan, you're probably well familiar with all the FOIA stuff. We had 378 FOIA requests this year. We had 281 last year. Body cams, people are wanting body cam footage. It's kind of crazy, the stuff that's out that people are asking for. Items of evidence sent to the state's attorney's office. We in 2023, we had 1,734. We had 3,124 this year. That's all our record staff. When they're burning videos, when they want copies of stuff, defense attorneys want copies, we burn all that. Boy, we send it electronically to them in the system.
So you guys are being able to send electronically now? Because I'm getting emails with videos and reports and stuff.
We are.
The days of burning discs are coming to an end.
100%. Thank God. Because it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The next page, number 29, is our school resource officer page. These are the types of crime and the numbers you're seeing that we're dealing with in the schools. 31 batteries, one aggravated battery, 19 drug cases. Ryan Goldsmith is our SRO. He is phenomenal. He's been in the school now going on 6 years. So this next year, we are pulling him out. We need to give other people chances and opportunities within the organization. So Chris Keelum has been identified. He went through the interview process with us and the school district. The school district was involved in the interview, had a say-so in who their person was going to be. Chris Keelum was identified to go to the school this year. Our community service officer program on page 30. If you go right to the middle of the page, and that was not formatted right, and I didn't catch that. 2024 highlights, you see the total calls that they have and what they're handling. Those are calls that they are handling that our officers don't have to handle. This is why our CSO program, we absolutely love. It's recruitment tool for us, for future officers, but it also allows us to hire part-time employees making a lot less than police officers to handle calls for service that our officers now can focus on traffic downtown. Jumping over to field operations, our overall calls for service on page number 33, you're going to see our DUI arrests went up, our overall calls went up. Patrol arrests actually went down. Traffic crashes went up. Citations and written warnings, all that is listed on that document. To jump over to our crime rate, which is on page 34, our overall crime rate went down as well, which we are very happy to see. The difference between 2022 and 2024, in 2023, we went to the full NIVERS reporting, crime reporting, in place of UCR. It was a changeover by the state and the feds that we had to change over. So in 2022, that was UCR data. So that's UCR data, and then 23 and 24 is the NIBRS data, the new reporting that we have to do for the state. Overall summary on NIBRS reporting on page 35, you'll see 22, 23, and 24. We did bring some of our data that we could bring over in 2022 and incorporated into the NIBRS reporting, but it's UCR reporting instead. So we tried to give a more of an accurate understanding of what it was really like. So we had a good 3-year comparison there. So jumping over to our traffic concerns, traffic enforcement. I'm going to skip over this fairly quickly. There's a lot of data there, different locations, different things that we're hitting in certain areas, like page 40, our portable speed signs. You guys allowed us to purchase portable speed signs. We use those things like crazy, as you can see by that chart. And then the very next page, we use those to do all our traffic studies. We are able to move them around, not Public Works. We're able to get good, accurate data. So that's just a huge, huge help for us. Two more specific areas that we're extremely proud of is our annual response to resistance, use of force. This past year, 2024, we had 2 response to resistance. Previous years, last year we had 9, 22 we had 5, 21 we had 9, and 2020 we had 8. So what I would like to believe is that our de-escalation strategies, training our officers in CIT, crisis intervention training, is really helping with how we deal with calls for service on the street, whether somebody's intoxicated or impaired, or if there's a mental health. And you see going through this report, we break down in there the total number of incidences involving somebody who's intoxicated with use of force, somebody who has a mental illness with use of force, and that is on page 45 at the very top. So our 2 this year, we had no substance abuse or emotionally disturbed. The person was just upset. And then the other one, he was under the influence of alcohol, and that's a person we had to use force on. And that's broken down from 2020 all the way through 2024 as well. So I understand things can change. Some years you have good years, some years you have bad years. This was a good year, and I think that's a really good thing and something for our men and women here to be proud of. On the very next page is our bias-based policing report. Are we racially profiling people, right? And the reason we put this in here is we want to be very transparent to our public. So what we do is we track what our racial makeup is for the city of Yorkville, okay? We take our data that we get from the census, and we also compare that data with what the school district data is, because our school district is more close to what our daily population is when it comes to the racial makeup of our entire city. We use the school district because they're coming into town every day. So we track the categories that the state of Illinois has us track, and you will see from 21, 22, 23, and 24 what our percentages of Caucasians, African American, Native American, Hispanic, and Asian Pacific Islander, our percentage of stops are. So, and we post that, and we want people to know. I don't want somebody to come in and say, hey, you guys are racially profiling. We do monthly bias-based profiling reports. So we track all of our traffic stops every single month. We track officers every single month. And we have in our report, if somebody is, let's say they're showing 50% African-American stops, we go, okay, well, why is it 50%? Well, it turns out they only made 2 traffic stops for that month. One happened to be black and one person was white, and so they're 50%, right? So that's how we track, and we follow the entire year, which culminates in this report. We also have it broken down by officer, so we know, are we having a problem? And if we start to see a trend, then we can jump on that trend and deal with it right away. So page number 48, our crisis intervention team and our in-house victim services. This has been huge. We partner with the health department. They, through the 708 board, they have provided a social worker who goes with between us and 3 other agencies. So we get her one day a week. And when we respond to calls for service, mental health, juvenile, runaway, domestic violence type calls, when we know that the social work services can benefit our victim or our person that we are dealing with, we provide that information to our social worker, and then our social worker follows up and reaches out to them to provide additional services to them. This is absolutely huge. And I can tell you, I don't have enough for a full-time person, but at some point, we'll be probably coming to you guys to say, the health department is no longer funding this. But I'm going to be looking to say, hey, this is a shared service position where maybe we can pay half and another, or a third, and another two agencies can be either pay half or a third, because this is so needed. When you have a domestic violence victim that you can provide additional services to, that they're not going to listen to the police. But this person, they have the services at their fingertips that they can help get that person. So huge. It's just a huge position. Our overall training, you see our training numbers are up with just a bunch of information on the different types of training that we've conducted. Our drone program, which is on page 52.
Drone.
We have...
Sorry? The baseball drone?
Right over there.
Okay.
We have our drone program. We have two drones as a city here. And we purchased one of them with my CPAT funds. And we use those. They are out every single shift. We use this drone, these drones. We have six officers trained as drone pilots. All special events, we utilize the drone. Calls for service, we can utilize the drone. We are the only ones in our county that allow our officers to take it out with them. Other people, their officers can't take it out with them. My take is they can carry a gun and take someone's life. We're not going to trust them with a drone. So, and other agencies use it. They say, hey, does anybody have a drone? And we're always going to assist other agencies with it, which is kind of cool in my mind. So, and then the last thing I wanted to bring up, beside, you know, all our community policing stuff, is on page number 55. That's Eli. He's our therapy dog. Aaron has come in and brought Eli in. Eli comes in every Tuesday to the department, hangs out with us for 2 to 3 hours, and I will tell you that dog is awesome, and people just melt with it. So we use Eli at special events, and so that is your annual report.
Any questions? Well, Tever?
No.
No?
Go ahead.
Looks good. Thank you,
Chief. Great. And what do you say?
You're trying.
That's excellent. I mean,
good.
I don't know how much more you can do.
There's always good
getting
stuff.
Getting something
we can
like
do.
This out every year.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got them back to 2020. My first year, I was hired in August. We didn't do one for 2019, but from 2020 through 2024, we have them. So it's a good record for, you know, history.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
And we'll move on to PS 2025-08, Department of Justice COPS grant.
So we will be looking to, let me back up. During our budget meetings with John and Bart and Aaron and Rob this year, I'm not asking for COPS, right? You guys have been gracious and given us this last year. Understand other departments need people. But going along with our 5-year plan, obviously with development and growth for the city and business growth as well as residential, you know, we're going to be looking to increase staffing. One of the things that I think is important for us to do is always look for grants. Because if I can get a grant that can help offset costs like the Virtra system or like the COPS grant, it's going to save our city money. So John gave me the authorization to research and start writing a grant with the U.S. Department of Justice, the COPS program, the COPS hiring grant. So I'm deciding whether I want to do one or two. I think I'm going to apply for two. And what it entails is each position, the city would get $125,000 total. Okay, it's not $125,000 per year, it's $125,000 total.
Oh, wow.
That is broken down into percentages for a 3-year period of time. So there has to be a 25% match, but everything else could be covered with the grant for a 3-year period of time. So if we get two people, we get $250,000. We get one, we get $125,000. So we're going to be looking. I've actually started writing the grant. I think there's two questions. It's taken me about 8 hours to write about two questions.
Sure.
But if we get the grant, it could bring in some really good money for our city. And so, yeah. That's more of a discussion.
Will this stand the Musk test?
What's that?
Will this stand the Musk test?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to let that one go, Siebert.
Yeah.
In all serious note, that comes from the state? It's a state grant? It's a federal grant.
Federal government program, yes. So the grant is not open yet. I believe the grant will probably sometime in May or early June come open. And then, so I'm writing some of the questions from previous grant years that they've always submitted. And so we're trying to get some of that done where then I can start incorporating and putting it in there and hopefully getting it done. There's so many nuances to a grant. So we've contracted with Lexapol to assist us. They know the nuts and bolts and the little things, like when they say you've got 250 words, if you have 251, they throw your application out. And so there's just a little.
The grants are out there, go for them.
That's what we're trying to do. And actually this year I'm challenging Ray and Garrett. You know, there's going to come a day when I'm going to retire, right? And they have to understand the importance of grants. So this year I'm challenging them. They need to identify and write. They don't need to do a Department of Justice grant. Even if it's a $5,000 grant for a piece of equipment, they need to start understanding the importance of grants and how we can save taxpayer money and get the equipment that we need by spending a little time writing a grant.
Especially when the state continues to pass mandates that are unfunded.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah. Huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
You need to do this, but you know we're not going to help pay for it.
Yes.
Well, Bonzi, through their EDTU, the online classes, offers a course in grant writing.
Yes.
An online one.
I attended one about 8 years ago, and it's a great class. A lot of it is just trying to go through and understanding what they're asking, and then following the guidelines they have established. I mean, the Virtra grant itself was that thick. I probably understand about that much of it, right? I mean, there's so much stuff in a grant.
Sure.
And so, yeah, trust me, I wish I could get somebody else to write them.
Yeah, I was just looking through that, and there's it's a three-course package. So it's like a beginner, intermediate, and then if you're taking the other two, then there's another third one. It's all online, all at your own leisure.
Yeah.
So.
Might want to look to one of the guys to cover that. Never know. Cool.
Very good. We'll move on to PS 2025-09. Parking restrictions on Grand Trail.
All right. So, I don't know. Do you guys have the packet with the photos? Do you guys have those? Okay. So, we've been contacted. I've been contacted. I bet you I've taken every bit of a dozen phone calls from parents, from people who say they're with the HOA. I can't confirm it, but that's what they're telling me, from the school district about issues on Grand Trail in the school. And the issues are typically before school during parent drop-off and especially after school with parent pickup.
Yeah.
And so the pictures, and Steve, I know you don't have it, so I'll slide over by you. So the way some of these pictures are, we sent up a drone, and we identified what we think some of the major issues are.
Sure.
So the first picture, mark number one, is just Grand Trail, and it shows where you're going to see cars up and how cars are kind of winding around in through the parking lot. Photo number two is just a closer aerial footage of the cars and where cars are going on Grand Trail. Photo number three is just the opposite side facing towards the school, just to get a different perspective.
I was amazed. I didn't realize it was that bad. But
that's one and two. That's three. And then four. Picture number four is we tried to show when you have cars driving with cars parked on both sides, cars in both directions, and then you see all the little kids and the parents, and that's really early.
That's a good picture.
So that's that, and then number five, really nothing there, that just shows the opposite direction. Picture number six shows the cars and then parents and kids going out in front of vehicles, which is the major issue. Picture number seven shows how cars kind of snake around from Grand Trail into the lot, then down between lanes of parked cars. And where it hits the school, they start double stacking, one on each side. And then picture eight, they wind around the school, double stack all the way back around. So I truly believe
Could the school district do a little bit more with the open parking on page on picture number
mm-hmm.
seven?
Mm-hmm.
You could, but then you're also limiting cars from backing out and exiting. So I think there's a little bit more that could be done, but I think they've got a pretty good plan of what they're trying to achieve. Picture number nine is just, you see on the one side where they lined all the way around the school, they're double stacked, just a different view.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that when I looked at it the first time.
Yeah. And then picture number 10 just kind of shows the parents coming out now. They're going both directions, left and right. Picture 11 is the buses coming out with the cars. And then picture number 12 and 13, that's really kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about. So I'll let you hold on.
No,
to
I...
You got it? Okay. So pictures number 11 and 12, what... In being out there and seeing the issues, the request is, can we limit parking on one side of the road? And I know that's always been something that the board has not really liked doing, because you have residences there, they live
right.
there, they should have the ability to park in front of their house if they want. I totally get that, totally understand that. So trying to take that into consideration, we've identified school days only. So not just Monday, Friday, Monday through Friday, although that's going to primarily be what it is, Monday through Friday. But if it's spring break on a Wednesday, it's not going to apply because school's not in session. So
sure.
this is going to be school days only when kids are in session. And what we would like to do is limit parking on the opposite side of the school for an hour and a half period in the morning and an hour and a half period in the afternoon. On pictures number 11, or I'm sorry, 12 and 13, picture number 12, you see where it stops at Constitution Way. That's an option. We could stop it just at the driveway to the school and, you know, parking on that one side.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the one that I would recommend, only because what's going to happen is the vehicles that are parking further north towards Matlock on Grand, they're just now going to come down to the further south by Freedom Place and just move the problem.
Yeah.
What we would recommend would be option number 2, which is picture number 13, taking no parking on the opposite side of the street all the way from Freedom all the way around to Matlock Drive for an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the afternoon. Talking with Bart and John, I didn't realize that there was the city has had a way that they do it where they get, you know, community involvement. So what I'd like to present to the committee is, would it be okay to bring this to the entire city council this next meeting, March 11th, and basically send out letters to all those affected in that area and try to get their input on whether they would agree or disagree with it. The last thing I want to do is bring problems to the city council because people are upset that parking is, you know, we're trying to restrict their parking in front of their house. We think it's a good reason. And the letter is also attached in the packet that we would send out to the residents and try to get a little bit of feedback. So that's what I'm looking for you guys. If you guys are okay with that, bringing it to city council.
Do we have any statistics on accidents or incidents because of the...
We've had zero crashes. We patrol the area, and they're wanting us to be out there every day. I can't be out there every day, but here's part of the issue that we've run into, Siever. Well, I have no traffic data for you, because there is none. We have been out there, and the school district officials and their security staff, they have gone out to the people that parked on both sides of the road and said, hey, it's not safe. Can I have you move over here? And parents say, nope, I'm staying right here,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? But you understand it's not safe. Hey, there's no sign saying I can't park here.
Yeah,
and so the parents know what it is. And I feel for the parents because they're in a hurry. They want to pick up their kids, and waiting in that line because there are so many kids, it's going to take a while, right? But it's not safe doing what they're doing. And so, you know, my concern is kids getting hit running between cars to cross the street to get into a parent car. So... thoughts.
There are no houses on Constitution Way yet?
Not yet.
Because that, I mean,
oh, wait a minute, Constitution, yeah. Hold on.
That's what I see. If you put the restriction on parking on Grand Trail from Matlock, and I'm looking at picture 13.
Yep.
So if you put the restriction from Matlock all the way around the curve down, and I don't know what that street is on the bottom of the picture, but where it ends.
Freedom.
That's Freedom?
Yep.
No, 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 the second part of it. So Freedom is what you turn in off of Kennedy, right? Kennedy.
Correct,
so
yes.
So you're proposing if you turn left towards Stepping Stones Park, no parking on the one side of the street, right?
Correct.
And then you're proposing no parking between Freedom and Constitution.
So,
right here.
Maybe.
Right. All the way down here, right? So what I'm concerned about is, are the parents going to start parking in here?
Yes, probably.
Okay.
No question, Dan.
Okay.
What I'm trying to do is not create an issue for parents, and definitely not create an issue for the city council.
Sure.
The one thing that I would say is if that's in fact what's going to happen, which I believe it's going to happen, especially when all that is built up there,
mm-hmm.
that's where somebody could put, or where the school district could put a crossing guard.
At Constitution and Grand Trail.
Yeah. Yes. Now, I think we'd have to probably wait and see, you know, how that is going to be and where the parents are going to go. Parents are going to find a way. I actually see them also off of Justice Drive. If you take off of Grand Trail and you go into Justice to Matlock in that first cul-de-sac,
mm-hmm.
I could see kids taking that bike path and walking through the backyards to get to cars in that cul-de-sac there. I mean, parents will find a way.
That would be better because there wouldn't be much flow of traffic because it's a cul-de-sac.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
Until they start walking through someone's yard.
Well, yeah, that's what's going to piss people off.
Yeah. So we're hoping that by doing this for a shorter period of time, it's more palatable for the residents that live in that area.
And I'm surprised we haven't gotten complaints from the homeowners on Grand Trail saying,
"We have.
Oh, there's people parked in front of my house all day long." Or,
yeah. Most of what we've seen is they're further down, not necessarily in front, like closer between Constitution and Freedom. They're further down, closer to Matlock, which is no houses down in that area.
Yeah.
So we're not getting a lot of that. So, but from the calls I'm getting, they are from residents there. They are from people saying they're with the HOA. I mean, I have no way of verifying they are, but that's what they're telling me. So,
because that holds a lot of weight. I'm with the HOA. If you want to put it to all of us, not next week, but the end of the month, or do you want to do it next week?
I think it was going to go, let's see.
April?
If the city council approves the concept, we propose to send the attached letter to residents inviting them to an April 3rd.
Right.
So at the March 11th meeting, we can talk about it there, and as long as the entire city council, with your guys' blessing, I won't bring it to the city council unless you guys want me to. Once the city council would, let's just say they would say yes, then we would immediately mail out the letters.
That's fine.
And
I'm for it.
Yeah, I don't have any problem if you want to bring it to all of us.
Okay.
Can you get it on there for next week? The agenda's already gone out.
I will jump on it right away. Done.
And then we're going to get complaints. Why can't I park in front of my house from 2:30 to 3:30? Well, that's why you have a driveway, you know?
I can't even tell you.
No parking and no standing.
The signs would probably have to read "no stopping, standing, parking."
Okay.
Because what you're saying is absolutely correct. Somebody would say, "Well, I'm not parked."
No, I was. I'm waiting for my dog or something.
100%. It's exactly what they're going to say, Seaver. So.
All right. Old business number one, PS 2025-1, downtown traffic update.
So, let me give you guys these. This was just given to me by Sergeant Strop. This is the update on the report for downtown. And then, yeah, we don't need that, and we don't need that. So, put this over here. So this is the latest. A lot of the speed stuff we already talked about. Our directed patrol efforts. You're going to see the number of details, which is actually on page 3 of the document that I just handed out. January, February, March, how many number of details. Keep in mind that March is only from March 1st to March 4th in here with the data. So we had 31 details in January, 24 in February, and 6 so far in March with the number of traffic stops and contacts and things like that. The following pages really just talk about the number of stops we've had with the total written warnings and citations written, and then, you know, what the speeding and what the speed studies have identified. Our goal with this document is we are presenting this document to our staff as part of our goal, saying, hey, have we achieved our goal of solving the problem, or do we still have work to do? I believe we still have work to do, so we will be, you know, continuing to press the downtown area. One of the things that we are going to hopefully challenge our staff with here in the next month or two is, okay, we've made this many stops, we've had this many written warnings, how many people have gotten multiple written warnings? Like, did Jim Jensen get 2 written warnings and was he stopped the third? And so are we achieving our problem by writing written warnings, or can we achieve and solve our problem by writing citations? And while, again, I can't force people to write tickets, I can provide the data to them and hopefully they come to the conclusion themselves. The other thing that we're going to be doing that I am hoping will fully address some of the downtown, while there are cars that speed down there, I think what people see and hear more than see is the trucks. And so we are, Kyle Davis has presented to our command staff, he wants to do a truck enforcement program here. We are all for it. Obviously, we have a lot of construction that's going to happen on 47, north and south. We have construction on 71. We know we're going to have data centers off of El Domain and construction on Corneals. And Corneals is a road that we have to pay for. So we've talked with Montgomery. They have a truck enforcement unit. They are stopping a ton of trucks. A lot of big overweights.
You're talking about overweight stuff.
I'm doing overweights, speeding. The goal, and the reason I say this about the downtown, is if truckers know that we have a dedicated truck enforcement officer on, they will slow down because they don't want to get stopped.
They should probably also know that at this point in time, CDL drivers aren't getting reductions. They're not getting speeds lowered because of the federal masking stuff.
Yeah.
There is nothing. If a truck driver gets a ticket doing 20 over, they're biting the bullet.
Yeah.
It's going to be a serious moving violation on their
accident. And I don't want to penalize CDL drivers, right? But I want you to slow down through town. Slow down through town. And if you're overweight and you're on Cornelius Road, that rips up our roads. And that's really costly for us as a city. So we've had several complaints of trucks on Cornelius. Now, we did. It was more of the lettuce place that's out there. Some of it, I think, was trucker error. Some of it was they didn't realize. And so we've tried to go out there and educate the business out there to say, hey, make sure you tell your drivers they need to go right instead of left on Cornelius Road when they come out. And, you know, again, our goal is to make sure that we get voluntary compliance. But these truckers speeding downtown, you hear it and you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people see and hear and feel. And so they think there's potentially more of a problem than what there really is. So
even with the sign about the air braking, I can hear it from my house to the downtown, because it just echoes everywhere. You can
100%. I hear it every once in a while on 47, and they're right by Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put their air brake. I mean, I don't even understand how it works, but they do. So,
you know, a lot of times it's just a switch. So you have a manual switch that you can put it on so it automatically does it, just to help you brake. But predominantly, if you're overweight, you're using the air brake. It puts back pressure on the motor and helps slow you down.
Okay.
So that's, it's a good sign that if you're overweight, if you hear them
air braking.
Jake braking, yeah.
we get the word out that we have a truck enforcement unit, and part of Kyle's research that he's going to be doing is we want to find scales on the north side of town, scales on the south side of town that are certified scales that we can work with the businesses on, and they'll allow us to do it. We will be presenting to you guys probably in the next, maybe not the next meeting, but the one after that, one of the things that I would like to do, because portable scales are expensive when we write tickets, is have the money go into a certain truck enforcement fund, and then we use that fund to pay for equipment, and then whatever we are not using, we bring and use for sidewalks. And, I mean, we're not going to bring in a ton of money for roads, right? But sidewalks, it's a little bit more doable. So those are some things I still need to, you know, work through and make sure that we can legally do it. Can there be a separate fund? And then just talk to you guys and say, is that something you'd be in support of? And if not, then that's okay. But if so, then how can we make it happen? That sort of thing. So that's all I got.
Any questions?
No.
Okay.
They're working on it.
Well, we're trying. So, yeah, we'll get it going. All in less than an hour, Dan.
Perfect. Then we will adjourn at 6:57 p.m.